Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. 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 Oh, he stinks. Oh, man. I think he farted.
Oh, my gosh.
Terrible. It's terrible. Come on. Come on, Bills.
Papa Dickie, we are back for Buffalo Burke Boys, episode 15. This is the playoff episode. How are you, Papa?
I got to tell you something. In all honesty, I'm a tad nervous about tomorrow's game, but I tell you, I am so I am so elated that we can get this thing, we can get it on.
We're going to get it on. Did you want to say hello to everybody?
I did. I want to say good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the ships in the 8-mile-long Buffalo River. Yeah.
I love the Buffalo River. I've been in the Buffalo River before.
Yes.
Maybe once or twice with some beer, and maybe not even any clothes. Papa, the Buffalo Bills, playoffs. Wow, we are hot. Winners of 6 straight, 9 of 10. The offense, an absolute buzzsaw. Let's see, from week 9 on, averaging an astounding 37.9 points per game. And, you know, Papa, we are winning games, but we're not just winning. We're actually blowing the doors off of teams.
This is true.
During our 6-game win streak, we've outscored our opponents a stupefying 229-110. This is outstanding. In the most recent game, week 17, against the hated Miami Dolphins, they had the number one scoring defense in the NFL. I think they're at 18.8 points per game. We scored 6 offensive touchdowns to go along with a pick six and an absolutely delicious 84-yard punt return by Isaiah Gadget McKenzie.
Gadget.
Papa, it was a complete ass whooping. We won that game 56-26, and it didn't even feel that close.
In the city of Buffalo, the people embrace the Bills. The city embraces the team in a way no other city in the National Football League does, and the whole area embraces the team. This has been an incredible banner year for our Bills. They scored the most ever points in the 60-year history of the Buffalo Bills, 501 points.
Wow.
Respectable 126-point differential. A lot of that was made up in the last few games when we went silly. We were 7-1 at home, 6-2 on the road, and a first ever 6-0 in the Eastern Division of the American Football Conference.
All these years, we've never swept the division until this year. Isn't that amazing?
And this is a long time. We got into the NFL in 1970. That's 50 years ago. And we swept the division. And it's almost like winning a mini Super Bowl, beating Miami twice, and especially those cheating fool New England Patriots.
By the way, as unaccustomed I am to correcting people, you said NFL 1970. Did you mean 1960?
Actually, we got into the National Football League in 1970. From 60 to 70, we were in the American Football League.
So even when the AFL champion played the NFL champion for the Super Bowl,
for those four years,
we were still in the AFL.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, in the 60s. Okay. That was the American Football League, yeah.
Pardon my ignorance. I misheard you.
Never have swept it since we've been in the National Football League.
All I know is you've been a fan since 1960.
A long time. I've seen a little bit of everything.
You sure have.
A little bit of everything. And of course, everybody knows the tremendous play by our quarterback, 24-year-old Josh Allen.
J.A. 17.
J.A. 17, top 5 in passing. with a franchise best, 4,544 yards. I know everybody knows the stats, but it's always good to hear these stats because they're meaningful. 69.2% completion rate. That's for 16 games.
Just amazing.
37 touchdowns. And then, of course, the guy who has complimented JA17, Stephon Diggs, everybody knows. Let's repeat it. Let's give a big shout-out.
Scared Tucker.
Number one in the league with 127 receptions and 1,535 yards in receiving. Both franchise records and the sixth most catches in a single season in the history of the National Football League.
That's amazing.
Stephon Diggs.
That's amazing.
Beautiful man there. Sticky hands, I call him.
Digging a little bit deeper on Josh's stats, he had 46 sheep total touchdowns, 37 passing, 8 rushing. The boy even caught a touchdown pass. So he had 46 total touchdowns. By the way, I don't have the exact number, but I think our punter, Bojorquez, had 41 punts. So Josh had more touchdowns by himself, or contributed to more touchdowns by himself, than we punted all year long.
Now, these are all very meaningful statistics. All meaningful. It all adds up to 13 up and only 3 down.
Just awesome. A really great year. I went back and I looked, and Papa, on the season preview pod, you were kind of, at first you were non-committal. You were between 11 and 5 and 12 and 4, final pick for the Bills. I held your feet to the fire. I went back, listened to the whole podcast. You said, we're going to sweep the Patriots, which we did.
Yes.
And we'll go 12 and 4. And
yes.
Boy, you were close. I thought you were selling very high on the team. They went 13 and 3. It was outstanding. Most of my Buffalo buddies, friends that we have in our chat, Bernarski, Teal, Radecki, I think they were kind of between 10, 11, and 12 wins. I picked the Bills to win 10, so I was definitely off. There were a few games on that schedule that, based on where Josh Allen was early in the year, or let me rephrase that, based on where Josh Allen was at the end of last year, with the lack of decision-making ability, good decision-making ability, lack of accuracy, just sometimes kind of looking stupid in that pocket, we both agreed that he just wasn't the quarterback, and we still thought he was good enough to lead him to 10, 11, 12 wins. But, and we've talked about this already several times on podcasts we've done since the middle of this season, his progression from year 2 to year 3, this may be the best progression of a quarterback in the history of the league. I have never seen anything like it. He is, I mean, quarterbacks that start out year 1 and year 2 that are okay, and they start to get better and better, and then they just blossom into a superstar. It usually doesn't happen like this, where the first year in the league, you're thrown to the Lions, you suck. The second year, yeah, you show some flashes, but you're still really not that good and you're not accurate. And now we need to, you have a lot of paper, Russell, and we need to get you some electronic tablets.
I'm a rustler.
His maturation and progression from last year to this year, I mean, I still don't understand it. We know that you can't teach accuracy until Josh Allen. I mean, he's unbelievable, 69.2%. And I think I saw a stat the other day. I didn't write it down. In the pocket, what most quarterbacks now do, a 2 or 3 step drop. It's a lot different from years ago when they did 4 or 5 steps. In the pocket, Josh Allen is 73% percentage completion rate.
Unbelievable.
I mean, that is, there's no words for it. The only one that can compare to that is Aaron Rodgers.
People in the know.
And we know.
So-called ESPN people and ex-quarterbacks like Troy Aikman said that Allen was a parody of an NFL prospect.
Oh, you got some good quotes here.
And Every piece of empirical evidence we have on Allen leads to him being a failure. Troy Aikman said it would be hard to imagine Allen improving his accuracy, that he'd never seen it in 17 years of studying the National Football League. Others said that Allen wouldn't be able to process things quickly enough after the snap to ever evolve into a franchise quarterback. Well, good things happen to those who know how to wait. You, myself, all the fans going back from the 60s, 70s, 80s, right through the four Super Bowls in the 90s. We've waited. Now we have a very serious team.
Some of those quotes are incredible.
50 years without a Super Bowl is frustrating. But I want to tell you, this has been a metamorphosis. This Allen is the real deal. The real deal. It's tough.
We knew this was going to be another Josh Allen love fest. I need to swap out the Jim Kelly sweater and just get a Josh Allen jersey. My gosh, he's unbelievable. The team, Papa, we've seen this week. I know I've sent you some tweets. All these NFL teams, they have fun and they dance and they play loud music, but there's something about this team, the way they're playing, the way they carry themselves on the sideline. A month ago, before Christmas, it snowed. It snowed a ton at Bills Stadium in Orchard Park, as we know it's wont to do being off Lake Erie there. And boy, I'll tell you, those guys, they went out and they played in the snow. They were having fun. I mean, you can see that they genuinely care and like each other. The rapport they have with their coach and their staff. I mean, Brian Daboll and Ken Dorsey, I mean, they love these guys. I mean, it's the culture on One Bills Drive is like nothing I ever thought it would be, even when McDermott came in a few years back. And everybody said, trust the process, do this, do that, you know, win, humble and hungry. To me, they were just platitudes. It didn't matter until they started winning. But I will tell you that one of the reasons they are winning, not just because of the ridiculous skill, especially on offense, but it is this coach. Now, John Bernarski agrees with me. McDermott still has a little ways to go for game day coaching, although I do think he has gotten a lot better. But the way that he has this team focused, the way they come out strong, the way they've gotten better in the third quarter. I mean, for the first half of the year, even into the weeks 9 and 10 in the third quarter, we were still kind of crap. And now we're just killing teams in the third quarter. It's unbelievable. The culture is fantastic.
It's a different ball game now with Allen having this unreal year along with Diggs. And don't forget little Beasley, 5'8", 174 pounds.
I love him.
This is the first time, I believe, that the Bills have had two receivers with a lot of catches and a lot of yards. I mean, everybody is doing so well. You know, this Daboll.
From the Buffalo area.
He must be a genius because he saw something about Allen that when he was at Wyoming, that didn't affect his realm of thinking when it came time to draft this guy. He saw such potential. I mean, the guy, he's a stud, 6'5", 237, maybe 240. He's a stud. And Daboll saw something, and all of a sudden, in this third year, oh my gosh, the transformation has just been ridiculous, but the reason for that is because this guy is a grinder, and they love him. They literally love him. Daboll said he loves him.
Yeah.
He's a grinder. Allen's a grinder.
Quick note on this whole thing with Daboll. He's probably gone after this year.
Yeah, maybe.
My guess is the Chargers. That would be a natural fit, so he could be with Herbert, help develop him. That kid's good. He's a good quarterback. And I would hate to lose him. It's the only offensive coordinator Josh Allen has known. But I'll tell you what, with Josh Allen and this offensive line, Deion Dawkins, the receivers, tight ends are getting better, decent running backs. But the main thing, Josh Allen, there are going to be some offensive-minded coaches that want to come in here. We've never been able to get a coordinator in here, even with Dable, even with all of his experience and Super Bowl rings from New England, being the janitor and whatever. I remember the stat before the year. Dable never had an offense that he led that was in the top 20 in yards or points scored by the end of the year. And it certainly seems to me, he was not the offensive coordinator at New England, it seems to me that he just didn't have the tools because he's got Josh Allen in there and they just ran roughshod over the competition. So when Dable goes, because I'm sure he would love to stay with the Bills, but you know what? He probably makes $1 million, maybe a little less, a little more. I don't know his exact contract. He goes and becomes a head coach in
LA. A lot more money, obviously.
$3-4 million.
Yeah, easy.
So he's gone, but we will get another excellent offensive coordinator in here.
Wanted to read one last thing about Josh, because he deserves it. It's an article I read earlier in the week. Josh Allen from mediocrity to NFL MVP contender. There's a couple of these stats going to blow your mind. The Bills, with Allen constantly pressing his foot on the accelerator, have evolved into one of the NFL's most aggressive, entertaining teams. You ready for this, Adam? They throw 64% of the time on first down.
Wow. I knew it was high, but I didn't know it was that high.
And this is according to ESPN stats and information. It's the highest rate of any winning team in the past 20 years in the National Football League.
That's an amazing stat.
They've lined up with four wide receivers 155 times this year. The second highest total in the league. On 43% of their plays, the Bills put someone in pre-snap motion, a stat that doesn't seem significant until you realize that's up from 25% in 2019.
Wow.
When they ranked 31st in the National Football League. So they got both guns smoking from the get-go. And we're going to need that tomorrow against these Colts. Right from the beginning, pressure, instant pressure.
Before we get to the Colts game, and I'm pretty sure we're convinced we're going to tear their faces off. But going back to the culture thing, I think most people saw this week, Papa, I shared it with you, the fantastic article written by Deion Dawkins.
It was unbelievable.
In the Players Tribune, you know.
Brought a tear to my eye there.
First of all, and my lovely wife Vicky can attest to this. There's just so much emotion. It's just so many years of losing, and you know Buffalo being the lovable loser and all that stuff. And you know this is coming from fans that were, you know, we were fans in the '90s. Nobody played more playoff games in the '90s than the Buffalo Bills. But for 17 years before McDermott got here, it's just been complete. And I don't want to say futility because it seems like every year, 4, 5, 6, 7 wins, even a couple 8, 9 win seasons in there, but we lost. But
really, never a contender.
Never a contender, lovable loser. So I say all that to say this, Deion Dawkins' article made me cry, and I am way too emotional. I mean, this is just nuts. I mean, I'm going to probably tear up just thinking about it. That's why I brought beer. Thank you, Tucker. Tucker was giving the Facebook and Instagram Live people a shot. I will link this article in the show notes on the podcast. I did make some notes here on what Deion Dawkins said, and I'm telling you, I'm going to squirt a tear here in a minute. This is going to be good. Vicky, you might have to come in here and give me a hug, baby. All right. Dawkins went through and talked about really what it was is, to me, the article was twofold. Number one, how much he and the team love the city and how much he knows that the city loves the team, and it's just genuine. I mean, these guys, Buffalo's a small town. I mean, the whole area, is way, way smaller. I mean, like Buffalo and all the surrounding counties, way smaller than where we live here in Charlotte, North Carolina. So he talked about how much he loves the city, how much the city loves him, but he talked about the culture of the Bills. And he made a couple lines here that I just thought were astounding. And he said, quote, "This thing we've been building, it's more than just a team. It's more than just some roster of guys. It's a movement," end quote. I love that. Now, this other quote is a little longer, but I want to, and I was like, well, I was just going to pick out a couple things. It's going to take about a minute to read this, minute and a half. This was when he was talking about the turning point this year. All right, quote, Dean Dawkins, Buffalo Bills. "We saw Arizona celebrating on the field after the Hail Mary. That was the last game we lost, by the way. And it was just something about it, man. It was the way they were running around, hooting and hollering like they'd won the damn Super Bowl. It was something about that. I think for whatever reason, that just struck this chord with us. Not because we were annoyed with the Cardinals or anything. They won, they can celebrate how the heck they want. Nah, it was more like we looked at them and then we looked at us, and I think we just had this moment of, all right, hold up. If they're fired up like they won the Super Bowl, why aren't we upset like we lost the Super Bowl? And I think that's when it hit us. It hit us that things are different now. Things are different this season. It hit us that this team, our team, these Buffalo Bills, we've moved on to a different place. Like, with all due respect to the Cardinals, I think they're in a similar spot now to where we were these last few seasons, just trying to claw and make the playoffs with an up-and-coming roster. Here it is. Whereas for us, it's not like that now. We are taking the long view. Every game isn't the Super Bowl for our team. The Super Bowl is the Super Bowl for our team. This team, as it's built this year, can win four games and win this whole friggin' thing.
I agree, 100%.
See, I almost squirted a tear. It's ridiculous. What do you got to say to that? I love that quote. I will link that article in the show notes.
And I urge all of you to read that article because it really is well written and it's dynamite.
I love it.
And it's not a paragraph or two either. It's good stuff.
Yeah, they have some really good articles on that site. I always forget about it. It's theplayerstribune.com. All right, let's talk about the game tomorrow, Papa.
Yeah, I'm scared in my own way.
Yeah.
I mean, this team lost opening day to the 1-15 Jaguars.
Ooh.
And they only lost four games for the rest of the year. I mean, how bad can you be if you win 11 games in the American Football Conference?
That's right.
They averaged 28.1 points per game.
That's healthy.
Very healthy. Had a 89-point differential. 6-2 at home, 5-3 away, and 4-2 in their division. Now, this is a strange team. And we were talking in the car on the way over to your house. They beat fair and square in overtime the Packers 34-31. They beat the Titans, yet they struggled with the 1-15 Jaguars and a somewhat, albeit their quarterback was dynamite, the Texans. They struggled. They beat them, but they didn't handle them the way they should have handled them. I don't know who's going to show up tomorrow, but I will tell you this. They've got a future Hall of Fame 39-year-old quarterback.
Yep.
That's going to be slinging back there. He had a wonderful year. He's over 4,100 yards, 68% completion, 24 touchdowns, 11 INTs. And this was his 12th career season with 4,000 yards.
Wow.
Phillip Rivers.
Wow.
Everybody knows their rookie running back. He's a monster.
He's a beast.
He's a beast. He's about 225, 226 pounds. Rookie out of Wisconsin. Jonathan Taylor. He led all rookies in scrimmage yards with 1,468, of which 1,169 came on the ground. And he scored 12 TDs. And then, of course, they got Hilton catching the ball from Rivers. And initially, they were really strong On defense, they're going to be a tough customer. This doesn't really have the feel of a wild card game. These are two awfully good teams.
Yeah, and a number seven seed, where this is the first year where we have a seven seed. So this is a strong seven seed. I mean, they had the same record as the Titans, but the Titans won the division because of tiebreakers. So they're a good team. Just kind of adding on to some of the stuff with Jonathan Taylor, like you said, hot as a firecracker. These statistics are thankful to John Bernarski. Thanks, Ben. Since week 11, he's averaging 123.5 rushing yards per game. That's huge. Seven touchdowns in the last four games. Take it with a grain of salt a little bit because of Jacksonville. They're not so good, but it doesn't matter. They're NFL players. They play hard. Taylor lit them up. Phillip Rivers, not a huge playoff performer in his career. I mean, he's won some games. He's five wins, six losses. Like you said, you talked about his stats, 24 TDs, 11 picks, not a ton of TDs. They're a pretty balanced offense. He's a very able quarterback, even at 39, like we were talking before on the way back to the house here. Rivers' arm is not the same as it was over the years. I mean, the guy's 39 years old. And I think he's never missed a game, or he started like 16 straight years. I mean, the guy is just, it's
very
just
reliable,
crazy reliable.
Always
doesn't
there.
Get hurt. They're going to be a tough out. Now, this is our first home playoff game since the 96 playoffs. I don't know if you remember that. That was Jim Kelly's last game.
Last hurrah.
Went out with a concussion. We lost 30-27 to the Jags of all teams. Mm. We had that huge, all those years from 88 to 93 where we were just unstoppable. And even in 96, they still had that swagger and ended up losing that game. So this is the first home playoff game since the 96 playoffs. Papa, the last time we won a playoff game was 25 years ago. It was December 30th, 1995 against the Dolphins in Orchard Park.
Yeah.
We beat them pretty good, 37-22. That was the last time we won a playoff game. Yeah. Now you know, fans, why we are hungry and why we're emotional, and Papa Dickey has been binge eating all week, where I've just been binge drinking.
Yeah. my best friend right now is the downstairs toilet. But I wanted to mention something. And this will give Bills fans, this should make you feel pretty good. As you know, seven teams from each conference make the playoffs. And the Bills, in the out of the seven AFC teams, had the most difficult strength of schedule.
Good point.
Now, just to give you an idea what that means, if you don't know, don't be insulted. That's the composite record of all the opponents that you played during the year. Their percentage was .512, highest among the seven teams.
Sorry, Papa.
They also were number one of the seven teams in strength of victory.
Wow.
And that's the composite record of the teams that you beat. And the Colts were dead last of the seven teams in both categories.
Wow.
So we not only did we have a tougher schedule, but the strength of the victory was way higher than the Colts. I don't think the Colts really know what they're up against. I keep on saying, even after this great year, we haven't even scratched the surface with Allen yet. Wait.
We are 6.5-point favorites. That is a BetMGM line. You got to show me how to get on Westgate. I still can't find it. And I'm really good with the computer and the internets, and I can't find the darn Superbook. But we are -6.5 on BetMGM. The over-under is 51.5. Papa, I agree. Josh Allen right now, There's no way this Buffalo Bills football team is going to lose a game in this postseason because of our offense. We are going to score points. The only way we can be beaten is if there are a couple of crazy turnovers, or we just come up against an offense, Mahomes, Rodgers in the Super Bowl, Brady in the Super Bowl, whatever. That is just a buzzsaw. We just can't keep up.
But a freight train right now.
We are a freight train. Josh Allen, I don't see how he can be beat. I think the Buffalo Bills are going to win this game 34-20, which means we easily cover the spread. That is the over. What say you, Papa?
You know, I've been thinking about the score the whole week. And just to show you the mindset between father and son, I've got the Bills 34-21. Oh, my goodness. And I can't believe that you just gave that score out. 34-21. As a matter of fact, if you can't score, if this Bills team can't get four touchdowns, then there could be trouble. There could be trouble. I don't think there will, because they are on such a roll, and we're on go, pedal to the metal, right from the opening play from scrimmage. If I wouldn't be surprised if we slobber them by more, because we're hot and we're trying to make a statement every game.
I agree. This is the time. We spoke about it at the beginning of the year. For years and years, I've been a glasses half full guy in the Buffalo Bills. I'm just, you know, was fed up with it, fed up with Ralph Wilson, fed up with the Pegulas when they first came in, stupid coaches, Chan Gailey and Rex Ryan. And I just, you know, always a diehard fan, travel up to Buffalo with the guys, go down to Miami and watch games. So no fair weather fan. But definitely fair weather as far as having confidence in the team.
Yeah.
And now I'm all in. I mean, there is no reason why this team, as currently built, and even though I was a little bit more pessimistic than you and my buddies at the beginning of the year when I said 10-6, I remember that first podcast this year, this season, I said, this is the time to make the run. You do it when your quarterback is good and he's on a rookie contract, and you get some free agents in, Stephon Diggs. And here we go. This is the time. We need four wins. We've won six in a row. We got to win four more. There is no reason why we can't win this whole friggin' thing.
Agreed. And just to go back to just a couple of more stats on the Colts.
Because I love stats.
You can take stats with a grain of salt, but a lot of them are very meaningful.
They're indicators.
The Colts were very tough early in the season defensively. Then all of a sudden, in week 11, since week 11, they've allowed almost 297 passing yards per game.
Wow.
So Josh has got to be licking his chops. They ranked 31st in the NFL since week 11, and they're 385.7 total yards allowed in a game is 24th in the league, and that's in that time span. And Josh is playing his best. We've got four or five wideouts that on any given day can knock your socks off. And they're not playing so well in the deep backfield. Josh may have a heyday. We may have one of those 425-yard games.
Oh, gosh. I'd like to knock your socks off. Give it up.
Pop, pop.
Last point. Diggs with an oblique. Beasley with a knee. Both listed as questionable. I think it's a little bit of gamesmanship by McD. I think they'll both play.
Yeah, I got to drug them both. Drug them. Get them out there. They got to play.
Shoot the cortisone into them if they need it.
Even if they can't play every down, you've got to at least target, you got to target Diggs at least seven or eight times. That oblique is right up here in the rib cage area.
Yeah.
In the ab. So, that could be a factor, but he's got to get at least seven, eight touches. Beasley plays. I think Brown and Gadget.
Gadget is a weapon. Isaiah
he's a
McKenzie.
Weapon. And of course, we got the rookie, Davis. So we should be okay. We got a lot of players that Allen can throw to.
It's amazing. We had almost the same exact prediction on the game.
Crazy.
And we did not compare notes.
No, we didn't. We never do.
That's pretty funny.
And by the way, I love your red light behind the couch.
That's the Buffalo Bills.
When are the girls coming?
I can turn it blue.
Red light district right behind us there.
I totally got your joke.
Oh my gosh.
Oh goodness gracious. I can't reach the darn remote, but I can turn it blue also. Emily has LED lights in her room. Maybe she can show me how to
program really sharp.
And do all this stuff.
That's really sharp.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Papa, you got anything else?
All I can say is that I've been waiting 50 years. You and I, when we lived in Florida for that period of time, when that kick went wide right in 1991, my stomach dropped to the floor. I really felt ill. I don't think you felt much better.
What a feeling.
But we've been patient, obviously, because even when they were losing, still watched all the games on TV,
yep.
Shirts went on. We're Bills backers forever. I kept on saying all year long. Right now, I don't see anybody really better than this. You look at the Packers, you look at the Chiefs. I think those three teams have the top three quarterbacks, and we're all equal.
Yep.
The difference is, man, are we hungry? And Allen's got that feel already. He's only 24 years old. I say, and I said this almost a month ago, we're bringing the Lombardi Trophy to the City Hall.
Woo, woo, woo! Niagara Square, here we come, baby.
Go Bills.
It's going to happen. All right, Papa, that's it. I got nothing else.
Neither do I.
Thank you, Facebook Live, Instagram Live. I hope it all worked. I hope they could actually hear us because the microphones were for the podcast, not for the people watching live.
Right.
But we love y'all. Didn't see any comments. Well, I saw Alva and Vicky made a comment, but I didn't see anything else on there. Who knows if anybody's watching? We'll leave it on there.
Go all Bills. Right.
Go Bills. So for Papa Dickie, the Buffalo Bills fan extraordinaire since 1960.
17 years old.
I am his son, Adam.
And remember, we are the Buffalo Burke Boys, and you're not.
Go Bills. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Say you will. Shout it right now, baby. Come on, come on.